Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
I just hate it.
Here's John Williams.
When people have all done something and everybody's talking about it, and I haven't done or seen it yet, well, I'm about to do that to you. Stand by! This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios, downtown Chicago. We're here weekdays till 3 and Saturdays 10 to noon.
It was getting so bad, I couldn't eat or sleep. I was worried about crazy socialists.
That's a disease called Bernie Sanderia.
I couldn't keep any food down.
That might be acute Brett gastrocavernitis.
All of this politics talk is getting me down.
And that's polytosis, a lingering disease that comes from too much politics.
Isn't there something I can take for this?
Now there is. And it's called Urillium Life 9000.
Urillium. Is it safe?
Safe? Why, it was developed by an ethnically blended group of serious people in lab coats working for a company so large and successful, their sous chefs have their own ping pong tables.
Wait, what?
Take Urillium Life 9000 as a liquid, capsule, gel cap, eye drop, nose drip, ear burst.
Okay, got it.
Arm patch, IV, chewable briquette.
I'll do the gel cap. Thank you.
Suppository.
Sorry I asked.
And the all-new, almost ready for FDA approval home epidural kit.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Plus, it's a rug shampoo.
I took Urillium Life 9000 last week and haven't talked politics since.
Take Urillium Life 9000 and say goodbye to anxiety.
Instead, we talked about that new massive hurricane. I couldn't be happier.
Always, always, always follow label directions. Close cover before striking. NLMS ID number 23. Skidoo. Yabba dabba doo.
I'm telling you what, if they started to sell that product somewhere, I think we could move some units, as they say. Urillium Life 9000. Everybody's talking about the movie. This is a non-political discussion. A Star is Born. I got a text message from a friend of mine in Minnesota, and she and her husband went to see A Star is Born, and she said on the way out of the theater, her husband was sobbing. Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It, and his wife went to see it, and they said their world moved when they saw the movie. And everybody's talking about A Star is Born. So last night, Brenda and I were sitting there with Daisy, and, you know, she doesn't watch a lot of movies, but we said, let's go ahead and watch the movie. So we got in the car and drove and watched A Star is Born. Watched A Star is Born. I started to use my Bradley Cooper voice from the film because he's right here. There's kind of a blues country act, and he's drinking too much, and he's got problems. And Lady Gaga comes into his life, and so she is the star that gets born. I won't tell you how the movie ends, but I probably could because this is the fourth time this movie's been made, and they all end the same way. Okay, so there's that.
Well, some of us haven't seen the other three.
Well, then go ahead and just find out what happens. Find out what happens, and then you come back and you let me know your thing. Dave Chappelle is in the movie, and he's in the trailers about as much as he's in the film. Very short role for Dave Chappelle. But Chappelle's good. He's fun. He should be an actor. I mean, Chappelle should do more of this. Andrew Dice Clay plays her father. I didn't know that was Andrew Dice Clay until somebody pointed it out to me. Hokey smokes! He's good, too. Everybody's really good in this movie. On a scale of 1 to 23 Jujubes, however, I gave it 18. It was fine, but it's one of those movies, it's one of those things where everybody says, oh my God, you've got to try this, and then you try it, and you go, yeah, this is pretty good. But I wasn't sobbing coming out of the movie. And I'm kind of surprised at the guys that were.
Are you a crier, though, for movies?
Good question. A little bit. In fact, I sighed. I'll tell you what. I found myself getting like this in the beginning of the movie. Because, you know, he's this star, and he discovers her, and then he makes her. And in that first blush of them and him and her, it's so exciting, and you're so happy for it. I just thought, oh, I'm so happy for it.
I cry in every movie, no matter what the movie. There's always a sad part to me.
Yeah, there kind of is.
But I'm kind of getting nervous about seeing the movie because everybody has been hyping it up.
It cannot live up to expectations.
And I want to see it, and I'm very excited, but I'm hoping it's as I've hyped it up.
I know, and so how can it be? So this is the favor I'm doing you, Violetta. I'm telling you right now, it's a fine movie, but don't expect that it's going to be the best movie you ever saw.
Have you ever cried so much during a movie, you or Violetta, where your body started shaking?
No.
I don't know if I start shaking, but I mean, I can't breathe, and then my tears will stop.
It's so embarrassing, because everybody around you knows.
I just went to a movie with someone, and right before I cry, I'd never been to a movie with them, so I looked, I go, do you cry in movies? And then they were like, no.
And by the way, we're at Shrek 2, just so you know.
But there's a sad part in Shrek 2, when you don't know if they're going to both change into the ogres. I mean, come on.
who didn't cry at that scene?
Spoiler alert. Sorry, kids.
I cry at sports movies. You know, the really good sports movies. Field of Dreams, that's a tough one for me to contain it.
The Blind Side.
Blind Side, what a great movie.
Sunday morning, I had to go somewhere. The Blind Side catches me on TV, and I just sat there and cried. I had to redo my makeup.
Moneyball is one of those movies when it comes on, I go, oh, I'm going to have to watch all of this now. Moneyball's a really good movie. I don't know that I cry at that, but I feel a lot in that. And that's the thing. Lou's coming out of the movie, and he's going, here's the thing. These characters are real people, and you really feel them. So I'm like ready to take this emotional journey. It didn't happen for me. It's a fine film. And Bradley Cooper's really good. And Lady Gaga is a star. And the peripheral players are really good, too. But I maybe it's because I kind of had a clue how it was going to end. And because it's just a well-done story with no surprises. So
you seem just like a realist. Like, well, that was going to happen.
Yeah, well.
And then you're like, well.
I would like to see. All right, but you haven't seen it yet, right, V?
No.
And you don't know how it ends. Is that correct also? And that's the same with you, Olive. All right. Well, then your assignment is to not let anybody tell you. Don't watch the Barbra Streisand or the Judy Garland versions. You know, hurry up and get this done because someone's going to tell you how it ends.
I know. I'm going to go.
And then get back to me.
I'm going to go this
weekend. I already made plans to go next weekend. So
right.
There you go.
And by the way, Titanic, the boat sinks and everybody dies.
Stop. Don't take me back to when they let go.
All right. It's 1:16. This is WGN. I'm John Williams. We'll pause here. We'll come back with the creator of the man who is sending the Trump baby balloon around the country. It's going to be in Chicago this weekend. And I'm sorry, this will be upsetting to those of you who are big fans of the president and feel that's disrespectful. I'm not here to disrespect the president. I'm interested in the fact that thing's going to be here and how that came to be and, frankly, what it's like for these people, because I'll bet it's not all roses. In a minute on WGN. By the way, Sam Elliott's got a voice down here, too. Sam Elliott talks like this. He plays Bradley Cooper's brother. So sometimes the two of them are talking, and they speak so below the diaphragm, they're actually using their thighs to actually articulate their words, and they talk like this, and you don't know what the hell they're saying sometimes in that movie. That concludes my impersonation of the movie, A Star Is Born. Jim Gravan's on a phone line. Hi, Jim, you're on WGN Radio. How are you today, sir?
Fine, John. Thanks for asking.
Jim is the founder of the People's Motorcade. It's the organization that supplies that baby Trump blimp that I think we first saw in London. Is that right, Jim?
That's correct, John. There is a group in the UK that created the first balloon.
Was that right after the election then?
No, it was recently when Mr. Trump visited the UK.
Oh, that's right. He was over there, and then suddenly that thing popped up. So that was the inspiration. And then you guys said that was so much fun or whatever that we need to have one of those in the United States. Is that correct?
Right. We thought that it was a perfect characterization of the man who now occupies the White House, both in the childlike caricature as well as holding his cell phone, tweeting away.
So it's a giant balloon of a Trump-like blimp character, like you might see in the Macy's Day Parade, say, but in this case, it's a caricature of the president wearing a diaper, and out of one of his hands, he has a cell phone. You did a GoFundMe page to build that thing, is that right?
Correct. We had a GoFundMe page shortly after it flew in London, and it was a very successful campaign.
You had enough as a result to fund 6 balloons, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. We were so overwhelmed with the support that we got in donations that the one balloon initial effort that we had intended to undertake mushroomed and took off, not to use a pun. And we decided that the more balloons we could get, the more effective we could be in delivering our message.
You're in New Jersey. Are you a political guy? Are you a one of these liberal think tankers, or what's your deal?
Well, I'm retired. I spent almost 30 years working in local government. I am politically active locally. Not so much prior to the election, but afterwards. I've become very politically active here in New Jersey.
It's a funny cause, isn't it? So there you are, happily ensconced in retirement, say. The election happens. You're upset about it. A lot of us just hid under the covers. But no, you did a GoFundMe page for a baby balloon, and that's what you do now, right?
It's more than a full-time job. Days often start at 5 o'clock and don't end till 11. So it's definitely a job. It's almost like having a startup.
And then is it a for-profit venture for you? I mean, how does this work? How does the balloon come to Chicago? I presume there are expenses. Who's going to fly it? Literally, how does that happen?
Well, People's Medicaid is a nonprofit organization. All the money that was raised for the GoFundMe campaign is held by the nonprofit, and those monies were used to purchase the balloons and fund the operation to get all the balloons out. And we ask very little of the individuals that adopt our babies. All they have to do is cover the shipping to get the baby to them, and any costs associated with actually holding their event. We try to help them in fundraising, like in Chicago. There's a GoFundMe page put up by the Women's March of Chicago and Jen Galdies to help raise money.
March to the Polls in Grant Park. March to the Polls in Grant Park is the sort of latest version of the women's rally that took place in January. Now it's going to be Saturday morning, October 13th, if the weather permits, the balloon goes up at 9 a.m. at Grant Park. The details are available everywhere. I'm just reading from a press release from you guys. By the way, so, you know, I think maybe, suppose I think that's funny. Suppose I support that. Suppose I want to get a picture with the balloon in the background. A lot of people feel the exact opposite of that. Do you hear from them, and what do you hear?
Well, I personally have gotten a lot of reaction following the announcement of Baby Trump tour, mostly positive, certainly some negative. That's to be expected. It comes with the territory. It wasn't only new to the Baby Trump. I've been experiencing it for the last 18 months, almost 2 years, in my political activism. I experience a full spectrum of reactions.
Do you worry that someone's going to take a drone or a dart to your balloon and knock it out of the sky?
Am I worried about it? No. Do I think that it's possible that it'll happen? Yes. But there's no reason to worry about it, because if that's going to happen, then you just hope whatever forces are there will be able to react to it as far as law enforcement. But it's, you can't stop the expression of right to speak out and to demonstrate for fear that there might be some adverse reaction to what you're doing.
Yeah. By the way, my understanding is it's not going to march this year. It's going to stay stationary, so it will be in Grant Park. some of my texters are loving this, and some of them are saying things like this. Baby balloons, how disrespectful to our nation. Use your time and effort to do good for our country. Another texter says, so many people that could use that money, and yet you waste it on this. And from 708, how much does he get paid from the charity? What's your response to those kinds of texts?
Well, personally, first of all, as far as getting paid, I've gone into debt to support this personally. So, you know, that's a fallacy. And any profits that are made go directly into supporting the effort. As far as being disrespectful, I think the best example of disrespect sits in the Oval Office. So I don't consider this lowering the bar. If anything, it's raising the bar on the discourse that is going on.
It's going to be in Chicago on Saturday at 9 a.m. at Grant Park. My best to everybody. I'm for free speech, that's for sure. And I really appreciate you joining us today.
All right, John, you have a good day. Thanks for calling.
Jim Gervan is the founder of the People's Motorcade. I tried to be careful when we talked to the GoFundMe page and the creator, if you will, of the American version of the Trump baby balloon. I tried to be careful and not boost it too much. I'm telling you about it. And I asked him about the pushback, and he says, yeah, I get it, but it's a free speech issue, and I think the disrespect resides in the White House. But a lot of you are just very upset with the Trump baby balloon coming to Chicago and Grant Park. I know that. Don't go to it if you don't want to. It's something in the news, and I'm curious about it. That's why we interviewed that guy. This text just poured in. It says, someone has a lot of nerve calling that balloon disrespectful. Do they ever hear what happens in the White House every day? But more of the texts are like this. If that guy doesn't like our government, he should move to Venezuela where he can play with his balloon over there. This one says, what is the purpose of this? To embarrass the president, to embarrass the United States, or to just be an idiot? John, I agree, says another one, that this is disrespectful. 708 says he knows he doesn't need to worry because Trump supporters may not like his disrespecting our president, but they aren't violent criminals. And 630 says that group should be ashamed of themselves. I'm not a fan of this administration. But can you imagine allowing this for the prior election? Put on your, I believe we called them pussy hats, and pout somewhere else, says 630. By the way, the business of disrespect around the president is kind of ironic because today Kanye West was in the White House, and he went on a fantastic little rant with the president there in the Oval Office. I listened to it, and you know what? Kanye made some very good points. He and the president are of like mind on about everything. But Kanye dropped an F-bomb in the White House today. He dropped an F-bomb on the president and the press corps. But that's just the way Kanye talks. By the way, Tom Skilling would never do something like that, and he's on a phone line, the meteorologist from WGN.
I've been too close to microphones too much of my life, John. I've learned you don't do that.
You don't in private, though.
The microphone is nearby.
Do you in private, Tom? Do you sometimes hit your thumb with a hammer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you something. There was an interesting New York Times article several months ago in which psychiatrists were saying that's not all bad. It's
Agreed.
A stress relief mechanism.
Yeah.
So, it happens.
I think
and
you say, oh,
knows,
golly.
We don't have enough stress. You know?
I'm wondering the same thing, Violetta. But we think that when Tom Skilling cusses, he says, golly.
Oh, geez. Golly. Oh,
for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why I oughta?
Don't kid yourself.
Tom, I'm only going to take about 5 minutes of your time, but talk to me a little bit about this Hurricane Michael in Florida. Were you surprised at how quickly it developed and how strong it got?
John, you know, it's amazing to me. I hear that comment from many folks. Frankly, this thing was under the careful eyes of tropical forecasters as early as Saturday night. And the expectation all along was that not only that it would move precisely as it did, but that it would strengthen. Now, that it strengthened to a Cat 4 and near Cat 5, that's interesting. But it was, we had models that were indicating that was going to happen right along. And, these intensity forecasts are always a devil. There's real work going on to try and improve these. But it was going over warm ocean water with low wind shear, so the expectation of intensification was strong and clearly communicated in all the advisories. So I guess the short answer, John, is no. I wasn't terribly surprised at all. And I'm surprised that people are surprised. That's quite interesting to me.
I think part of the problem is that it seems too often the hurricanes veer into a direction we didn't think they were, or they actually downgrade themselves. And this one, as you said, was true to the prediction. So maybe that's where some of the surprise comes from. But also...
Yeah, I think so. And you know, John, it's interesting. Years ago, I talked to John Hope, who's no longer with us, but he, for many years, was with the Hurricane Center. And he became one of the hurricane experts in the early years of the Weather Channel. And I was interviewing him down at the National Hurricane Center one time when we went down in the wake of Hurricane Andrew to do a piece a year after that storm struck in South Florida. And he made an interesting comment. He said, you know, it's hard for people to understand that nature will do something they've not seen it do before. Never has any of the population in the Florida Panhandle see a storm of this intensity. This was essentially like an EF3 tornado sitting over the area for hours. And normally in our area of the country, you know, a tornado like the one that hit Washington, Illinois, for instance, back several Novembers ago and did such devastating work, or the one that hit Plainfield. These do their deadly deeds in, you know, a matter of seconds. We put a stopwatch to this and found that, essentially the damage that we see in the aftermath of these things has been done literally in 15 to 20 seconds. So to have an EF3 tornado, or the effectively that, and only far larger, sit over an area for hours on end is not surprising. And then on top of it, you bring the ocean in on top of it and torrential rains. It's a deadly, damaging, catastrophic combination, and the results are pretty clear. The only thing we can be grateful for is it didn't hit a larger population area, or it could have really been catastrophic.
Well, Tom, you've been saying that the storms are going to be stronger. We might not get more, but when we get them, they're going to be more severe. And the last two were whoppers, weren't they?
Absolutely. And John, the science is clear on this. The work still has to be done on this particular storm. But, you know, people like Dr. Carrie Emanuel at MIT or Dr. Kevin Trenberth at NCAR out in Colorado have been among the many, many scientists, all peer-reviewed, who have indicated the fact that warmer oceans, and our oceans are warmer and have higher heat content, and an atmosphere that is warming, and an environment that's warming and therefore holding more water, these storms are going to get stronger, and they're going to get wetter. There won't be more of them necessarily, but the ones that occur will be stronger. And we've seen that trend. It's demonstrable.
I don't know what their attitude about the phrase is now, but I know as recently as 2014, it was against the law in Florida for state agencies to use the phrase climate change. There have been a couple of
states
in the Southeast like that, and Florida has been one of them. Maybe they use it now. I'll bet if they don't, they're going to start, because these things are scary anymore.
Oh, you know, John, the political class, certain members of them, haven't caught up to the science. Either they don't read, or they're not informed of it, or they don't surround themselves by people with atmospheric science backgrounds. Because to continue this stance that something's not going on is literally an outlier view of the situation. And, the evidence is insurmountable almost at this point. And that report from the United Nations last week only serves to underscore what climate scientists have been telling us for decades.
I got to go, Tom. Are we going to feel the effects of this? Is it going to affect our weather in any way?
No, John, this one isn't. This thing's catching a ride on the jet stream, which at this time of the year is pretty strong, so it's going to exit the East Coast pretty expeditiously, too. Still has another 24 hours to run on its impacts out there, but no impacts for us. We're going into a markedly cooler regime. The next 7 days will average almost 21 degrees cooler than the past seven. So we're finally in real autumn weather.
And how's the weekend looking? Is it going to rain? There's a couple outdoor events.
You know what? Violetta, there might be a little shower that comes down Saturday night. It'll be light and spotty. There'll be some clouds building in as we get to later Saturday, but more so Saturday night and Sunday. But no, I don't think this is a horribly rainy weekend coming, unlike the one we just went through. It's just going to be chilly.
All right. 21 degrees cooler than this 7 days than the previous. It's good to hear you, Tom. As always, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, John. Take care.
Raising Your Hand, What Leadership Looks Like, is part of the Ideas Conference seminars and speeches that are going to be given in Chicago. This one, Raising Your Hand, What Leadership Looks Like in 2018, is going to be Monday, October 15th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Harris Theater. David Hogg, the high school student, is going to be there. I'm looking at the list of people. Mitch Landrieu is going to be there. Molly Crabapple is going to be there. Jameel Smith is going to be there. He's one of the senior writers at Rolling Stone. And, in fact, I think he's going to be the moderator of it. Jameel's on a phone line right now. Hi, you're on WGN. Jameel, how are you? This is John Williams.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me a little bit about this. What's the deal here?
Well, essentially, Chicago Ideas Festival, to be my third year participating in it as a moderator. And what I love about it is it is a real chance for people to simply exchange, as the title says, ideas. And it's a time where those are given free rein and folks are able to really think about the world's problems in a way that I think maybe in the course of news cycles and our daily lives, we don't really get a chance to discuss. And frankly, being able to hear from some of the people that we're going to be hearing from at this conference, it's going to be a real great opportunity, not just for myself as a journalist, but I think for Chicagoans as well.
$15 a ticket. You can still get a ticket to this seat. Rick Wilson, the rapper and activist, C5, the performers will be there, et cetera, et cetera. Is it a pro and con? Are there views on both sides, or is this just one side addressing and criticizing the problems?
Well, to me, it's not really about left or right. It's about people being intellectually honest. And I think that's one thing about Chicago Ideas that's always appealed to me. I think people are willing to acknowledge faults in their own positions. I think people are open to debate. And I think certainly, you know, we're on a stage with Mitch Landrieu, who's a Democrat. Certainly David Hogg has his own personal political perspective. Jose Antonio Vargas, the undocumented Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, he has his perspective, certainly. But these are people, I feel like, who are open to exchanging ideas, not simply giving a speech.
So Raising Your Hand, What Leadership Looks Like. You know, what I took from that title was, step up. In other words, if you want to be a leader, don't just sit there. Take the reins. Am I reading that correctly?
I think so. I think what we're going to be talking about in that really interesting conversation on the 15th is, you know, essentially not just what have these leaders done in their own particular spheres, and what lessons can we draw from them, but also what mistakes have they made, what things would they like to do differently. I think certainly what things in the world would they like to have seen go a different way. And, you know, you have some pretty iconoclastic folks. I mean, Mitch Landrieu, of course, the former mayor of New Orleans, is, you know, a white Southern politician who confronted race in a way that I think a lot of us have never seen a white Southern politician do in our lifetimes. And, you know, you see, you know, people like Jose Antonio Vargas, again, somebody who is, you know, confronted the issue of immigration and undocumented, immigrants in a way that, frankly, you know, is not just personal, but also global. And I think that what we're going to see there is, hopefully, if I do my job right, a conversation that really brings out something that, you know, all Chicagoans can relate to, but also, you know, the audience that's watching online can also take something from and hopefully do something with.
Have you been on a stage before or talked with David Hogg?
I have not. That's one of the ones I'm particularly looking forward to. Just actually got back from reporting down in South Florida for the midterm elections, and certainly he's one of the folks who I'm looking forward to speaking with, and not just about what happened, obviously, in Parkland and what's happened to him since, but also in his perspective on other problems. I'm sure that, you know, he'd welcome a chance to offer some thoughts about immigration and issues that Mayor Landrieu is going to be confronting. And I certainly don't expect that we're going to limit the topics to what people sort of know these people for.
I'm kind of confounded by David Hogg because it's just such a shame what happened at his school. And for the survivors that they're now, at least in his case, many of them not having quote-unquote normal childhoods or teenage years. He's now become this national activist, and he's being praised for it, but also now has to suffer the slings and arrows that come with that. And I wonder if he's ready for that. And I even wonder, you know, how much we should take from somebody like him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he's felt it in ways that I have not, but it didn't make him an expert on school violence, say. So,
right.
So it's just kind of I think that'll be challenging for you on the stage.
Yes, well, indeed. But I think that at the same time, I think there's hundreds of amateur experts, if we want to call them that.
Yeah.
We're all around the Chicagoland area. I mean, we're thinking about, people who experience tragedy, frankly, at very young ages, even younger than David. And maybe they don't get the national spotlight.
Well, he's a little older than David. But, a good example of that is Chance the Rapper here. I mean, Chance isn't much older either, by the way. I think he's 23. Chance has actually been a player in the important conversations in Chicago. And let me just throw another name at you. And that's Kanye West, who, of course, Chicago claims, and who is in the White House today. He was talking to the president about a variety of issues. I wonder what your take on that conversation is. Have you heard anything about the Kanye-Donald Trump exchange today?
From what I've been able to glean from the clips I've seen online, frankly, I don't think much came of it. I think that it was simply an exhibition of political ego, an exhibition of two men who, I don't think were clearly versed in the issues that they were slated to discuss. And I think that it was quite the show for the media, but not really necessarily productive for communities like Chicago and my hometown of Cleveland and other folks who are experiencing these urban struggles that frankly this administration has been ignoring or exacerbating.
The title of the talk is Raising Your Hand, What Leadership Looks Like in 2018. Jamil Smith is going to moderate it along with the people that we've been talking about. It's $15 a ticket. We'll put all the details on how to get him on our website, and I'll mention it on the air right after the news. Enjoy your trip back to Chicago, and the next time you're in town, maybe we can get you in the studio. Jamil, it's nice to talk to you, and it's always good to read you in Rolling Stone.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
Me. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 3, Saturdays 10 to noon, when there isn't a football game. In October, the Wildcats are playing a lot on WGN at 11, so you're getting a little more sports after Mr. Fix-It, and then Wildcat football with Dave Bennett. But that's where I live on Saturdays, 10 until 12 noon. I also live on social media. I'm WGN King John on social, and at WGNradio.com, we do a daily web poll question. We call it the news click. We ask you to click on and tell us how you feel about a particular topic. Yesterday, we said Michigan and North Dakota will soon vote in November, making pot recreationally legal. A, you could have said, I'd vote on that, yes. Or B, you could say, I'd vote no on that. And 84% of you said you'd vote yes if you had a chance on recreationally legalizing marijuana here. 16% said no. Producer Elif, what is the new news click, please?
Guess who's visiting Chicago? Baby Trump. A, awesome. Can't wait to see it. B, that's terrible and disrespectful.
That big baby blimp of Trump is coming to Chicago. It's going to be at Grant Park at 9 a.m. on Saturday. It's not going to walk in that parade, by the way. It's just going to stay tethered. It'll fly over the March to the Polls rally on Saturday. So be advised. Don't go there if it's upsetting to you, and do go there if it's not. So we're asking you how you feel about that. We got a rash of texts when we interviewed the guy who's behind that's bringing it here, and they all felt that it's just so terribly disrespectful. What a waste of money, blah, 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 blah. A lot of that. And I'm not surprised, because I know there's a lot of you out there. Some of you, though, have since texted this. The Trump baby balloon is a heck of a lot better than the Obama hanging effigies we saw throughout the whole Tea Party movement. 847 said Trump is already an embarrassment. 630 said I love the balloon idea. And 630 said the balloon thing is not my cup of tea, but please, the head of state of this great country, the president is a bad actor. So what do you know? There's a pro and a con on this. Some people are on board and some people are not. I'm just shocked.
I just don't think two wrongs make a right. Just because, you know, some things might have been bad doesn't mean you get to be bad.
I don't think this is bad. But as he said, it's free speech. It's protest. It's a caricature of the president as a balloon. Presidents have suffered a lot worse than that. So is this that bad? I get it. Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. You may think this isn't going high, but I know some of you think this isn't going high enough. So there it is. Go to WGNradio.com or on my Facebook page, and you can tell us what you think. Kanye West was sitting down with the president today. Yeah, go ahead. So here's cut one. This is Kanye talking. Kanye was on a roll. I think the first question they said to him, well, one of the members of the press corps there said, you said George Bush doesn't like black people. What do you make of this president and his relationship with minorities in this country?
With blacks and African Americans, we really get caught up in the idea of racism over the idea of industry. You say if people don't have land, they settle for brands. We want Polo Sport and Obama again. We want a brand more than we want land because we haven't known how it feels to actually have our own land and have ownership of our own blocks. So when you don't have ownership, then it's all about how something looks. It's about the patina. It's not about the soil. It's not about the core. So we focus more on, is somebody wearing something? Is someone disrespecting? So I gotta shoot them.
So that's kind of an interesting, I'll tell you what. I didn't listen to everything he said. The two of them sitting there, it just feels ridiculous. But I thought Kanye was actually talking some sense. He said, we've settled for brand over land. Since we don't have economic equality, we can't acquire nice houses and the things that other people have in this country. So we go for the brand. It's the bling. It's the fancy stuff. It's the brand over the land. I haven't heard it put that way before. Thank you, Kanye. Kanye also had this to say.
And we have to bring nobility to the police officers and make the police officers are just like us. But this whole hate building, right? And that's a major thing about racial tension. And we also, as black people, we have to take a responsibility for what we're doing. We kill each other more than police officers. And that's not saying that the police officer is not an issue because they are in a position of power. But sometimes they're in placement of law enforcement. They need to be law power. It's force versus power. When you shouldn't have to force people to do that. So a lot of times a police officer is sitting there, they're being forced to do this and forced to do that block, and then they force somebody into something and force something. We have to release the love throughout the entire country and give opportunities.
And then he went on for 9 more minutes. I'm not kidding. And
President Trump was a very good listener.
It's kind of funny because afterwards, like, then Kanye stops and there's this pregnant pause. And Trump said, well, how do you follow that? You know, like, what can I say now? And everybody laughs. And whatever the hell just happened was diffused. But I think it had a chance to sort of steep, too. He had a chance to listen to it and think about it. So Kanye and the president were on a roll. You've heard Doma T play some cuts from the newsroom. Maybe Kim will as well. But they are a band of brothers, those two, Donald Trump and Kanye West, at the White House today, talking about, among other things, crime in Chicago. Well, I hope they figure it out and let us know. By the way, a lot of you have been texting to me because we started the show today talking about A Star Is Born, the movie that, I don't know if you know this now, but by law you have to see. And if you don't cry, they tax you. It's like that. I said it was a good movie. I was underwhelmed. You know how a movie gets built up more than it should be, and then it's never as good as you hope. Thanks a lot, Lou Manfredini. Well, this is one of those movies in my estimation. I'm doing you the service, ladies. I'm looking at Elephant Violetta now, of lowering your expectation bar so that when you go see it, it can rise to whatever level it is. But on a scale of 1 to 23 Juju Bees at my house, Griffin gave it a 20.
Wow, and he's the movie guru.
Brenda gave it a 19. I gave it an 18 out of 1 to 23 jujus.
It's still pretty high up there for all three of you.
20 is kind of the threshold where we go, wow, awesome. 18, in my house, they knew, oh, so you didn't like it that much, huh?
I want you guys to remember that John is doing a public service because he's the same one that said Hamilton. I think you gave that one, what, 17 juju bees?
Affirmative.
Yeah. So, you know, he may just be level setting all of our expectations, and it's a whole ruse. He really loved it. He's crying right now just thinking about it. Do not be fooled.
Kanye lies, or Joe McKee lies. I'm looking at Kanye on TV right now. CNN can't turn it off. I'm watching Kanye and Trump and the Dow at the same time. It's very unsettling. And the Dow is down 380, which is less than 602, where it was a while ago. So celebrate being down 380. By the way, Domati, I left that movie last night, and I was thinking, I hate being an outlier. You may think, oh, there you go again, John. I don't know what to tell you. That's where my head and heart are on these things. And when I came out of Hamilton, I thought, that's pretty good. It wasn't the best, craziest, greatest thing that's ever happened. And you feel like you're such an antagonist.
No, I think it's important that you speak your mind like that. Because I think a lot of people feel the same way, but are too embarrassed to say it.
I think a lot of people go exactly that. They get on the bus. They don't want to. They don't want
to. Because everyone's like, oh, it's the best show in the world. And you're like, okay, I mean, yeah, they're singing. And
I can't believe I'm saying this, but it goes back to the point Kanye was making about groupthink and about how we have these ideas that other people have and we just share them just because someone else we trust said it rather than thinking how we really feel about it. I don't know.
Was that a shot at Taylor Swift, Kanye there?
Ooh.
I don't know. That might be the subtext.
Hot take.
Yeah.
By the way,
the first time he's interrupted her.
Isn't that? Oh, Violetta, you can turn your mic off and go home now because it's not going to get better than that. That is the most brilliant observation of the day. Wanda, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Wanda? You're on the air.
Yes, my qualifications, I could never be hired as a critic because my criteria, not criteria, but my method is I liked it a lot. You have to see it. I'm going to buy it when it comes out on DVD. I liked it, but I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I'm not going to buy it, but I recommend that you see it. I went to see it because of all the hoopla about it. And 2 weeks before, I had just seen the James Mason and Judy Garland
version. Yeah.
Version. And I was in tears by the end of the movie, but the first part of it, the music is so loud and hurting my ears that I didn't really care for it.
Somebody called and complained that Lady Gaga is an actress, and Dave Chappelle is too. So somebody called in or texted in. Elif told me about this, and they were upset with the coarse language. If there's an F-bomb counter out there, that thing is spinning. Stars Born.
I try to ignore that.
I think you can. It's in context. It's, you know, it's an alcoholic blues singer, for crying out loud. So what do you expect from Bradley Cooper's character?
And you know he's going to die in the end, so it's like going to see the Titanic over and over again. Why do you do that? You know how it's going to end.
A lot of people don't, so I'm cutting you off now.
Thank you, Wanda. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Wanda.
Where did my pen go?
Bye now. Yeah, so I told you it had the same ending.
Well.
Wah, wah.
What are you going to do? So Kanye West was at the White House today.
I can't unthink that.
I do have one positive comment in response to what just happened.
Okay.
There's still the plot of the movie.
Right. How did they get there? What happened?
Yeah,
so you don't know what's going to happen.
I'm sure we'll still be amused by it.
I think the singing is better in the Barbara Streisand version. We used to rent movies or rate movies at my house. See it, rent it, skip it. See it, rent it, skip it. When you used to rent movies, you would say, should I go see it at the box office, rent it on VHS, DVD, whatever, or just skip it outright? So that's how I used to rate movies. But that seems to be a little antiquated now. I mean, if you rented it, how would you don't have anything to play it in. And what format would you rent it anyway?
But who really rewatches movies?
Oh, come on.
Just everybody?
Yeah,
no,
you know, Earth,
I don't. I'm like a one and done.
Earth. All right, here's the question. text me this, and let's just see what we get. Because Wanda cried at this movie. The Manfredinis cried. My friend Jordana and her husband cried. I think Brenda may have had a sniffle there. I got a little verklempt at the first half hour of this movie, and then I think it went downhill from there. Anyway, what's the movie you cried at? Tell me about your big cry movie. Lots of texts here, many of them about the balloon. Some of you think the baby coming to Chicago on Saturday is a great idea. Some of you do not. And a lot of you are telling us what the movie is that made them cry. John, I cried at Brian's Song. Oh, man, if you haven't seen Brian's Song, then and you want to cry, go see Brian's Song and you will cry.
Marley and Me.
Apollo 13 gets me every time, John. Remember the Titans. John, Coco, if you don't cry during the end, you have no soul.
That's the movie that made me shake while I was crying.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Somebody else asked what was the movie for you and Elif. It was Coco, huh?
Yep.
John, I cried through Sixth Sense once that little boy said, I see dead people. I lost it. Okay. Is that what these people are all calling us about, by the way? Movies that made them cry? All right, here we go. CJ, you're on WGN. What's your movie, please?
Mrs. Doubtfire, John, and I love your show.
Hey, CJ, thank you for calling.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a sad one.
Bye now. We'll go from CJ to Jenny, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hello. Hi. The way we were when they're in the, but he's remembering the best years, almost makes me cry now thinking about it.
Yeah.
Best years, you know, and it's 46, 47, you know, I mean, he's going through the years. And the other one is Want to Have a Catch in Field of Dreams.
You Want to Have a Catch? Very interesting.
Yeah.
People could get obsessed with the way that line was written, but what a great moment in that movie. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
When he crosses the line, the doctor crosses the line, and the.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he can't go back. He can't go back.
Oh, God.
Thank you for the call.
You bet.
Bye now.
Life is Beautiful.
You're just going through your list here, V. Is that what you're doing? Recollecting the movies that made you cry?
Yeah.
That's good. I think this is healthy. Hey, Beth, you're on the air.
Hi. My movie is Always. I don't know if you remember it. Holly Hunter, Richard Dreyfuss, John Goodman.
Wow.
Fire. Do you remember it?
No. Maybe.
Okay. They were firefighters in the northwestern part of the United States. And you know what? It didn't go the way a lot of movies go. So there were some disappointments, and oh my God, tears, tears, tears. Yep.
Thank you for the call, says Beth. We'll just do two more real quick here. Hey, Cindy, what was the movie?
It's got to be Terms of Endearment. At the end, when Deborah Winger's kids come in the room and she has to say goodbye to them, and then a little later when she passes away and Shirley MacLaine loses it.
That movie is the definition of a cry movie, Terms. And finally, Brian. Thanks for calling, Brian. You're on the air. What's that movie that made you cry?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah, pretty good movie.
Pretty obscure. Johnny, you like that?
Oh, yeah. That's, I think, where a lot of us first met Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Yeah, and Leo DiCaprio when he was about 10 years old.
That's right. That's right. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Hey, listen, Brian, I got to run. Thanks for the call. Thanks, you all. Text to 312-981-7200. We'll recollect the movies that made you cry as we gave our review of A Star is Born. It's 228. There is a big job fair coming to Chicago. Are you paying attention to this thing? You know someone that could use some work? Domati, we may talk about this tomorrow, but I'll just mention that a lot of you continue to text to us the movies that made you cry. After my tepid review of A Star is Born, everybody's crying at that movie, and we got into this conversation. 269 said, Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, Steel Magnolia, Sleepless in Seattle. John, A League of Their Own when Betty Spaghetti's husband dies. John, I literally just walked in from seeing a matinee of The Star is Born, teared up during the last song, but I didn't cry. Seeing Bradley Cooper naked, though, made it worth it. John, Terms of Endearment, just sobbed. John, there's a Japanese animation called Grave of the Fireflies. You need to watch it in Japanese with English subtitles. If you do not cry, you left your heart. The Champ, We Are Marshall, and the list goes on. Kind of fun. By the way, Congresswoman Kelly, welcome to our show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Robin Kelly's here. What's the movie that made you cry, makes you cry?
The Elephant Man. I remember.
The one with Cher, right?
The Elephant Man?
Yeah. Am I thinking of the same movie?
Oh, that's right. That's
Cher's
right.
the mom
yes.
in that, right?
Yes, she is.
That was a good movie.
Excellent.
That was tough to watch. Yeah, I guess we did cry when we saw that one a little bit.
I've cried. You know, I cry easy, so I've cried in a few movies, but that always stands out.
Well, as a Democratic congresswoman, you're probably crying all the time these days. What are we talking about? The movie that's playing in Washington is making us all cry.
The reality show, yes.
Or maybe it's making some people happy. I know that was a partisan statement, and that's not why you're here. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You do a annual hiring event, a job fair, if you
right.
will. This is the sixth year for it, right?
Yes, it is.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, we have a hiring event every year. Actually, we have two, one in the spring for young folks and then one in the fall for everybody. So it'll be this year, October 19th from 9 to 12. We'll have over 50 employees, and the employees that come have to have job openings. It's not just for them to advertise themselves, but they have to have job openings
available.
Oh,
I got it. How many jobs are we looking at here?
Wow. Employer FedEx Ground is looking at hiring 2,000 seasonal workers. It just depends on the entity. They're large and small.
The entities, I'm looking at your information here, UPS, ComEd, Metra, Rail, Comcast, U.S. Post Office, FedEx Ground, have actual jobs and are looking for actual people to actually fill them.
Mm-hmm.
Are they seasonal or are they full-time work?
Well, FedEx Ground is seasonal, but the others are full-time.
What do you think the pay range is on some of these jobs?
Well, you know, we always try to have jobs that you need a high school diploma, maybe 2 years, maybe 4 years. So it just depends on what the job is, actually.
So some might be $12 an hour and some of them might be $50,000 a year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah. So how do folks do this? Do they need to sign up in advance? Do you fill out a form? What do you do?
They don't have to sign up in advance, but we always encourage people to go to RepRobinKelly.eventbrite.com or they can call 708-679-0078 for
okay.
more information.
Hold on, I'm going to do that again. By the way, Robin Kelly is R-O-B-I-N, and then Kelly with one E. I don't
correct.
Know if anybody spells it with two, but R-O-B-I-N, Kelly with one E, Robin Kelly.
eventbrite.com. Right. Mm-hmm.
And your website has information too, and that's your name, robinkelly.house.gov.
Correct.
And the phone number is
708-679-0078.
You know, I was thinking the first time you and I spoke about this, and in the previous years when we hadn't, the need for maybe a hiring event was greater than it is now. Unemployment is very low. Comment a little bit about that.
You know what? Unemployment is lower, that's correct, but also there are people that are still unemployed, and there are segments of people that are unemployed, and there are people that are underemployed, or people that maybe have just retired and want to do something different, or people that just want to make a change that are not retired.
And maybe the maybe a different way to look at this is if the need for jobs as employees isn't as great as it once was, the need for jobs by employers is greater. So this now is a service to Comcast and Metro Rail and the UPS, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with, you know, skinning the cat that way. But, you know, when we were talking about jobs not that long ago on this show, it was amazing to me how many people said they have two or three jobs. You know, what I wish for them is not a $9 an hour and a $14 an hour job, but one $50,000 a year job. You know what I'm talking
right,
about?
Right, a living wage.
Yeah, there's just too many people that are not earning that. And so unemployment is down, and wages are going up. I mean, the economy is the free fall of the Dow right now, notwithstanding. The markets, and by the way, the Dow is, the economy is doing well. And the Dow may be falling for some relatively good economic reasons. So I won't go into that, but it was just amazing to me how many people are snatching up these jobs but not giving up their other one.
No, definitely, because some of the jobs are not living wage or they may not get really good benefits, so they need two jobs to help, you know, with health care or, you know, other things that they might need. So that's what I'm saying, that there are a number of people who may have jobs, but they're underemployed.
What is the work that you do in Washington? What committees and issues are you most involved in Washington?
Well, I serve on Foreign Affairs, and I'm also on Oversight and Government Reform, where I am the ranking Democrat, so the head Democrat, because we're not in charge, not the chair of the IT subcommittee. So I'm very involved in healthcare work because I'm the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus Health Brain Trust, so a lot of healthcare work, some IT work, and of course, Foreign Affairs. I'm on Western Hemisphere, so all the countries in the Western Hemisphere, like, you know, Cuba and South America, those are the countries that we concern ourselves with. But, you know, very active in workforce development, active in diversifying tech. I'm the co-chair of the Diversifying Tech Task Force because our tech companies have not done a very good job in diversifying their workforce, which is a very, very big concern.
And that's relative to gender and, I presume, skin color, right?
Gender and skin color, correct.
What was your observation about watching the Brett Kavanaugh hearing?
Whew. Well, you know, I believe in, I'm glad they brought Dr. Ford forward and him, and they did that. I thought that was very important because I feel like we're sending a message to our young people in high school that what you may be going through now, which I'm sure some of them are, that that's not important. It was very disappointing, the FBI investigation. I don't think they did a thorough job at all when, you know, we're hearing that so many witnesses came forward, called the FBI, called certain people, and they weren't even interviewed. So that was very, very disturbing. And he, frankly, does have a black mark hanging over his head. And I also feel like he went from being, I went to church, I did this, I did that, to, you know, well, yes, I like beer. I still like beer, which is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it was just very disappointing. And I didn't want him prior. So this was just pushed, you know, me deeper in my feelings, I guess.
My attitude about it was that you're going to get a conservative anyway.
True.
And when I saw him introduced to us by the president, and he talked about how his daughters call him Coach K, and he seemed to be a nice, upstanding guy, and Lord knows he's smart enough. So I sort of had resigned myself to the fact that this would be a good guy. And then this second wave comes, and I have such a different feeling about him, which is kind of ridiculous because you don't have to like a guy for him to be a good Supreme Court justice, right? What you want is somebody who can understand the Constitution and the law and make sure that they match. And if he does that, regardless of his politics, it's going to be a conservative. Give the guy a chance. And if he's not the person personally that you wish he was, it's possible that he could still do the job. What do you think about his future on the Supreme Court?
I'll have to wait and see, because the way he performed, now I understand if you think you didn't do something that someone's accusing you of, I understand being angry and not liking that, but he was so partisan. I mean, bringing up the Clintons and the things that
was
said,
shocking,
and what he said to the senator about, have you had a blackout? I mean, he was out of control, and he really showed how partisan he is. So we don't know what's around the corner with Mueller and different things like that, so it just makes me wonder, you know, how impartial can you be? You know, I question that now very much.
Of the committees that you're on and the areas of interest that you mentioned a moment ago, where do you spend most of your time, or what is your gravest area of concern as a member of Congress?
Well, because of representing the Chicagoland area, is still gun violence concerns, unemployment, health care. But gun violence is still high on my list that, you know, we have to look at the root causes. It's not just the legislation, and we have to look at health care. It's all tied in together, you know, the
president
workforce,
talks about that. The president talks about that a lot. For some reason, he's taken an inordinate interest in Chicago's gun violence, because while our numbers are staggeringly high per capita, they're not as high as they are in St. Louis or Milwaukee.
We're ninth.
It could be a lot worse, mm-hmm. which is a stupid thing to say. I know it's all bad, but I don't understand why he always lays into Chicago as the murder capital of the country when it's not.
Well, I think there's a certain president that came from Chicago. I think that has something to do with it. And I also think that when he came to speak, Chicago prevented him from speaking at UIC. And I'm sure he remembers that. I'm sure he remembers that.
Yeah. Okay. So the back to the job fair, the hiring event, it's going to be October 19th.
Correct.
Go to robin.kelly.house.gov.
Right.
Or Robin Kelly on Eventbrite.
Correct.
Robinkelly. And where's the event going to be again?
It's going to be in Lansing at Land Oak Park District, 2550 178th Street in Lansing.
By the way, I gave you bad information. You said that the movie that makes you cry is Elephant Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Cher is in that. Cher was in Mask, which is a different movie, I think.
Yes, yes, yes.
John, so a couple of people are reminding me of that.
I saw Mask, too.
Did you cry at that?
Probably.
Have you seen Star is Born yet?
No, I haven't, but it's on my bucket list.
It can't be on your to-do list because you're a member of Congress and you need to be working for the people. You cannot have a recreational fun moment.
I know, that's what some people think, but you need it. Believe me, you need it.
I'll tell you what, this movie is a departure from all of the politics and Supreme Court justices of the world. This is a good old singing movie. And I'm not supposed to talk about the ending, but a lot of folks are going to see it, that's for sure. Robin, thanks for coming in and visiting
thanks
with us again.
Me.
Good luck to everybody on the 19th. John, 7 Pounds, the movie. Boy, did that make me cry. John, I cry at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. This should almost be like The Bright Side, where the only rule we have on Fridays when we ask people to call in and tell us good news in their world is that we don't judge your happiness. We don't mock it. So if you say, I'm just going to hang out with my buddies and we're going to play some golf and watch the games and have a steak. That's like Kevin's every single time. We don't make fun of that. We celebrate that. So whatever.
Well, crying is good. So even though you might cry in these movies,
I know, but some of these movies
good.
You people are crying at. I'm like, 7 Pounds? Really? Okay.
That was very sad.
I thought that was a really bad movie. You can't be crying at really bad movies because you can't get emotionally invested.
I cried in that football movie, The Program, Alvin Mack, linebacker, going to go to the pros, going to get his mom out of that shack, and he breaks his leg in one of the final games, and he may never play football again.
That was a sad thing.
Saving Private Ryan coming in on the text line, An Affair to Remember.
John, I could not stop crying during What Dreams May Come. It's a Robin Williams movie. Okay. Thank you.
Pixar movie, they say. Toy Story 3 has come up a lot on the text line as well.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
312-981-7200. I'll post about this on Facebook as well. We'll put our news click there today, too. And the news click today is, what is the news click today? The news click today. Producer Elif is actually busy. She can't do this.
I cried during the 2005 White Sox World Series DVD every single time.
Guess who's coming to Chicago? The baby Trump balloon. You have two options on the news click. You can say, A, that's awesome. I can't wait to see the baby Trump balloon. It'll be here Saturday morning at 9 at Grant Park. Or B, that's terrible and disrespectful. You can vote with your mouse and we'll see how that goes. Rowan and Anna are right around the corner. Coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gort. So I was going to try and turn you down, but I don't have that button in my studio.
Yeah, no, I got to work
out. So you got to be careful. Ro, let's just, you and I make a pact that during these transitions, one time you could hear me and one time I couldn't hear you. We need to be on our best behavior.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I mean, there's professional courtesy there, John. That's
man.
How that works. That's how that goes. I'm
trying to cover for you, buddy.
I was, you know, did you start the conversation about movie crying based on A Star is Born?
Yes.
Okay. I was warned. Richard Roper, who, you know, has...
Who knows a thing or two about movies.
But he doesn't know anything about crying.
He doesn't cry at any of them.
No. He's like that from The Grinch, you know, remember? The heart was coal. It was
did
like a little piece of coal.
Movie?
Yeah. And he's not a movie crier. And he's like, he looks at me and he goes,
yes.
You're going to cry. And then you're going to cry some more.
Really?
And then you're going to cry again.
He said the same thing to me. Of course, I cried everything.
Did you guys see the movie?
Yes.
And did you cry?
I'm going to see it.
I cried twice.
In the beginning, right? More at the beginning than at the end?
No. No, no.
I cried at the beginning.
No, you did? You cried at the beginning?
And
really?
Then, you
no,
know
he
what?
Almost cried. Don't say you cried.
Where did you? No, what? Just to give you the transitional moment, why were you crying in the beginning?
When she gets caught up in it, when she's like becoming the star, I'm like, oh, it was just, I was so happy for her. And so then I thought, this is going to be a bath for me. But I'll tell you what, Ro, I didn't think it was a super duper movie.
Oh, all right. Well, John?
I love Anna's reaction.
I'm going to just have to... I've
been told it's the best thing ever. I have to go see it immediately.
John, I'm going to have you thrown out of the country.
Oh.
Kanye has called and said that he's taking... He's keeping a list of people who can stay and people who have to go.
I have to read this real. Hold on. I had one more commercial. You missed that part when you were transitioning.
Sorry.
Do you have a private vista? Hey, do you know what a private vista is? Vista means view. Private Vista is also the name of an evolved financial planning and investment management firm here in Chicago in the suburbs. Your private vista is your view of your future. Here's what they do. They first find out who you are and what you want to do. Who do you want to be? What's your private vision of your life after retirement? And then they crunch the numbers with you to make that happen. The fact that they care about who you are and what your private vista is their evolved, different approach. Trust me, their number crunchers are good. They've assembled the best team of financial advisors in Chicago. I want you to do what I did. Contact Private Vista at myprivatevista.com. Go to myprivatevista.com. I always cry during the Ro-Khan show. I'm walking away from the microphone now. You guys have a really good program.
Thank you, John.
I generally cry during it, too, but for different reasons. Thank you, John.